Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What he's known for is this dance move where he lassos his arm around the air while he's smacking his own butt with his other hand. We will be out in public. We'll be in restaurants. My family will just start chanting, horse, 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 because that's the dance move name, and he will just take off.
What is up, friends? Welcome back to another episode of hopefully your favorite podcast, Overshare. I am Jocelyn Davis with my girl, Lily Marston. I realize, Lil, we've never said our last names on this show before, have we?
It's kind of weird to introduce myself with my last name. It just feels so formal.
It's kind of weird to even call you Lily. Like, I can barely even get that word out.
I used to say this. I feel like it's not as... It used to be really hard for me to say, and it's still in the sense that when I introduce myself, no one ever hears Lily. See, it's kind of just like Lily, but I've said it. People are like, Willie? I'm like, yeah, fucking idiot. No, my name's not Willie. Are you kidding? Like,
honestly, though, that would be like a great name for a young child, like Willie. Like, that seems fun.
Do you know, randomly, that just unlocked a memory, who I introduced myself to, and that's what they thought my name was? Ross Lynch.
Oh, interesting. Ross Lynch, who you might know from his Disney Channel fame on Austin and Ally.
When he used to be the hit band R5.
R5.
Jocelyn used to stalk them.
Yep. I was on tour with their family for like literally a year making a documentary series. And he's also on the show Sabrina the Teenage Witch or whatever it's called on Netflix.
Oh.
And Lily, you would love this. Guess who he's playing? And I think he even got nominated for an award.
It already happened. Ted Bundy?
Jeffrey Dahmer.
That's what I meant. It's a serial killer.
I knew you would love that about him. It's totally on brand for you.
Anyway.
What do you say we jump in?
Let's do it.
So, over it.
What she said.
Okay, Lil. Talk to me, baby girl. What are you over this week?
This feels very, what's the word when it like doesn't apply? Like, most people won't get it.
not applicable to most human beings. Is there a word for that?
That is like esoteric.
Unrelatable? I don't know.
My lights are like, it's just, they're... Oh my God.
You mean your production lights, correct? Oh no, she's losing it, folks.
There's a perfect example. They just are so... Oh, fuck. Literally, they're such piece of shit, but they shouldn't be. And I don't, like, treat them poorly. I'm like, I'll just leave it like that. It's not bad. That's okay. It's like I don't bring them anywhere. It's not like I'm throwing them around. I move them from my office to the living room and back very like gently, and somehow they don't, now if you tighten them, it doesn't actually tighten all the way, so they're like swinging around and falling, and it's just...
Well, they do make you look gorgeous, so you know what, sometimes beauty is pain.
Blow me out,
you know.
My skin is actually doing very, I can't say it out loud because then it'll just be a disaster, but it's...
I'll
okay
tell you,
for
you
the
look
moment.
Fantastic. Your lighting is great, but I'm sure you look amazing IRL as well.
It's funny because actually how the lighting is right now, it looks like a disaster, but on the camera that's recording, I think it's actually top notch.
I know.
What
I think
are you
it's
over?
Oh, yes. I was going to say also at some point we should reveal like screenshots of what our Zoom like little setups look like, because I mean, if there was a reason that I needed to move, I'm trapped amongst so many cords, so many tables, like just accoutrements and
honestly,
things.
Before I even had the light issues, my other over it was just going to be cords, because it was a light issue. I was getting the cord that I had left plugged in the living room. And I don't know how, but the nest of cords that is accumulated next to my TV, it's like I'm untangling them and I'm like, how could this have possibly happened? They're like wrapped around each other, like as if I strategically did it. And it just makes no sense.
Oh my gosh.
It's 2021. I wish cords didn't exist.
Actually, good point. I feel like everything should just be powered by the moon or something at this point. Don't you agree?
That that's where that was going, but sure. Yeah. I think that we should have figured that out. What the fuck, scientists?
Okay. What I'm over is something that I know I've discussed with you before, but I don't know that I've discussed on this podcast. And it's something that I went in a little miniature rant about on Instagram yesterday, which is also off brand for me because I don't typically get my gears grinded.
It's like you don't typically rant.
No, I don't. And I also, I let all my gear grinding happen on this show because I don't have a lot of it to go around. But here is what upsets me. So over the years working at Clever or even prior to that, I don't like getting rid of any of my clothes because I love rewearing the same things all the time. And we're seriously, like, I'm talking about my winter formal dress from high school, which is literally over 20 years ago. I used to wear in Clever videos. I wore it to a wedding recently. Why? Because I freaking love it. And why wouldn't I wear it more than once, right? Or like I wore a dress to Coachella, this really cool orange fringe dress. Then I wore it to a red carpet and people are like, you're so brave to wear the same thing twice. I can't believe it. Ugh. Okay, here's what bugs me, right?
Yeah, I was like, well, why are we?
Here's what bothers me about this, okay? Do you know who's never been asked about wearing the same pair of pants twice? Or like, ooh, you wore the same shirt. What a smart move. Any man ever alive.
Mm. It is, I will tell you, actually, I saw an entire post about Noah Centineo making fun of him because he was wearing the same pants to everything.
Well, that's a genius move. If you have a pair of pants that you love, you should wear them every day, okay? I don't understand this concept of like having to buy something new and wear something new every single moment. I think it's super unrelatable, okay? Or esoteric, which I don't think is the right word at all. But it's a fun word to say and it made me feel smart. I just don't think it makes sense. So here's what I'm doing.
Intended or likely to be understood by only a small number of people with a specialized knowledge.
Yeah, the specialized knowledge is that it should not be happening. Okay, that's my thought. So here's how I'm rectifying the situation. I have decided that for either 1 week or 30 days, I'm leaning towards 30 days, I'm going to wear the same thing every day and style it differently every single day just to prove to the world that you do not need to buy new clothes for every day of the month.
Follow-up question.
Yes.
That gives me anxiety because are you going to wash it?
Well, here, amazing question. Amazing question.
Or are you going to buy a bunch of them? Because that's what I would
do. My sister actually did this. Did you ever know that my sister had a blog before she had kids?
I vaguely remember this.
So my sister had a blog and she did this challenge probably 10 years ago. I didn't do it. She did it. And I think I might have like shared it on my socials at the time, which at the time was like probably just Twitter and Facebook.
I was a follower.
So my sister did this on her blog probably 10 years ago. She got a black wrap dress from Old Navy and she wore it every day for 30 days. And I'm not kidding you. Not a single one of her students, she's a high school teacher, no one noticed. No one noticed. No one caught wind of it. She's like, either no one cares about me or really like no one cares about the clothes because not a single person noticed. But what she did was she bought two so that she could wash them. So, I mean, you want to stay sanitary, obviously. So I'm thinking that's what I'm going to do. So I had my Instagram followers vote and guess what they picked for me to wear? A nice little leopard print frock. So here's the thing. If people don't notice,
most versatile.
No, but leopard is a neutral. I mean, it's definitely a neutral.
It goes with any color.
Yes.
But it's not like it won't be noticeable.
So here is my next thought. You should do it with me. 30 days. 30 days. You should wear the same thing every single day, a leopard print dress. And you could put your pants on underneath of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, here's the thing is like, I basically do.
Well, then I just say make it official so that we could prove our freaking point to the world.
This, if anything, would literally just be enabling me to buy a backup version of the same sweatshirt.
Listen, it's good for the environment. It is, because you'll only be like, you're showcasing a good example of wearing the same thing, not buying a bunch of fast fashion, you know?
I just think this would work better if I was going places.
You should start going places. Where? You should go outside. I don't know, the beach, take a walk, something like that.
When I see people at the grocery store that are like ready, I'm like, what's wrong?
Anyways, by the time this episode comes out, who knows? Maybe I'll be in the thick of this challenge. I plan to document it somewhere, probably Instagram, but really would love to encourage you guys to join the party if you're interested and come and hang out with me and Lily as we wear the same outfit for 30 days.
It's reminding me of when we did our twins video.
Wow. Those were the days of our
lives. One of
the
best videos we ever did.
It actually is. It still holds up.
It's actually filmed terribly. It kind of gives me a headache to watch, but edited. I crack myself up with the edit.
Oh my gosh. Well, Lil,
let's listen to our caller.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, what do the people have to say? Also, as a reminder, before we jump into the call, if you have not been on this show yet, please call us. Let us know what you're over in 3 minutes or less. We would love to know your name if you feel comfortable sharing it. The number is 562-661-5729. And with that, roll the tape.
Hi, guys. I really love the podcast. I'm calling in because I'm so over middle-aged men hitting on girls who's old enough to be their daughters. Like, hello, my parents are the same age as you. Kindly leave me alone. This recently happened to me, and it's been going on for a while. This middle-aged man came up to me saying that he would like to know me. And at first I was literally just creeped out by it because I'm like, he's around the same age as my parents. And I was just like, grossed out. So I was like, but I politely told this man, no, thank you. And he had the audacity to tell me I was being unfriendly. And in that moment, I just wanted to like literally cuss at him. But like the way I was raised, the doctor, whatever the word is in me wanted to be polite to him. So I just left. But like, honestly, I'm so sick of it. Like, sir, leave me alone. Please leave me alone. It literally just creeps me the hell out. Like, and the thing is, I don't have like the genetic puberty mutation as my generation that everyone else looks older than their age. I literally look like a 14-year-old, even though I'm 21-year-old. But still, I don't care. Leave me alone. You are old enough to be my parent. I don't care. Leave me alone. That's it. Bye. Love you guys.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm having so many flashbacks.
Literally,
of similar circumstances.
It unlocked a repressed memory. Same. From an Uber, like probably 5 years ago. And oh, it was bad. It was like
so gross. It's so gross.
Well, especially if you, when they're old enough where it's like you didn't even, like that thought was so far out of the realm of possibility in your mind that, like, if you were like, for example, my situation, I was in an Uber. I think my car had broken down or something. And I vividly remember that I had taken the Uber to go get weed. And it was like a 15-minute drive. So I'm in the car and I obviously was going to ask him because he was going to be able to smell it. So I was just going to be like, hey, drop me off here. Oh, wait, I'm getting back in. We're just going home again. So I asked him when I got in if that would be okay. And I did it very like, hey. So big favor to ask. And I was being just really friendly.
He took it the wrong way.
He was like, oh, yeah, of course. Being super friendly back. We're chatting. We're on the way back to my apartment. And he's like, so what are you up to tonight? I would love to take you on a date. And I'm like,
ew, no.
What is happening? And he was literally like 50. And I'm like,
that's so weird. And also makes you so uncomfortable because like now this person knows where you live.
And there was still like over 10 minutes left in the car ride. So then it was terrifying. Just awkwardly silent.
Do you know what I used to do? And this is my advice to any people out there listening who have been in these situations. This is what I used to do. Luckily, at this point, I'm already like too old to where it would like, if I was single, almost like be age appropriate for me to date someone middle aged. So like this doesn't happen to me. Thank God. Also, I'm telling you, some people don't like wearing wedding rings. I freaking love it. I feel like it's a repeller. So I recommend getting a fake wedding ring if you have to, which you shouldn't have to because people shouldn't be creepy. But this is what I used to do. If a weird like old dude would try to say something to me, I'd be like, just curious, how old are you? And then they would tell me their age and I'd be like, oh my gosh, same as my dad. That's what I would do every time. And they would get the the hint?
I don't know. I feel like you could get some creepy responses from that.
But yeah, you could actually. but the other thing that she said that really grinds my gears is that the guy said she was unfriendly. That, my friends, is right on par with when someone tells you, you should smile more.
Yep.
Get out of my freaking face. Go away. Like, why? No. Why should I smile more? Makes no sense. Sorry. No. But I don't really have a good retort for the friendly thing.
I'm just thinking about the fact that, like, literally any girl has, like, just an endless, like, there's not even singular memories of that that pop up because it's just happened so many times. And that guys genuinely don't even realize that that is happening.
It's so odd.
Even though they do it.
The other thing I'm just, like, remembering really quickly is, like, just the creepiness levels, especially like when I was young and the internet was still new. I remember this old guy once like trying to get my number or something. And so I Googled him immediately. Married with a family, with children. I was like, should I reach out to his wife? Let her know? Should I just ruin his life really quick? I don't know. It seems like a good idea.
Well, and also my response, which I feel like is never believable because I like don't know how to say it, is that I have a boyfriend, and I like am probably laughing as I'm saying it because it's unbelievable to me. And otherwise, I feel like there is no way to turn down a guy like that by just being like, I'm not interested. Like, I feel like they don't take no for an answer. Then they like try harder.
Do you know what works though? I didn't even think I told Chris this.
Like,
he's sitting in the same
fucking
room.
Weird.
So I was in Walmart recently and this guy came up to me in like the chip aisle and I was just trying to get some pretzels, like leave me the F alone. And this guy came up and was like trying to like, I would really like to talk to you sometime. And
what?
I said, he was just really weird. It was also Walmart, which a lot of weird stuff happens there.
That's why you don't get ready for anything.
And I just said, I looked at him and I put my hands like this and I said, please stop talking to me. And then he just went away.
Well, I also feel like with masks now, that doesn't feel as off limits.
Right. Like I guess you could say like, I don't want your germs near me or whatever.
Just act like a complete germ, but be like, back away, 6 feet.
But I was just like, please, I don't want to talk to you. Go away. Thank you. I feel like that could work. Please, I don't want to talk to you. Please go away. Like, it's still
like,
polite.
Who the hell is going up to people in a Walmart and being like, I want to talk to you?
I don't
like,
know.
I don't know.
It's
not a
odd
situation where you're in a scenario where you're opening yourself up to meeting people. It's like, no, I'm running errands. Back the fuck off.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so sorry that this happened to you, to our caller friend.
I know.
And
no, you're not alone.
You're not alone. There's a whole community of people out there going through the same things. But again, we want you guys to call us. It's 562-661-5729. And lucky for all of you, today we have someone joining us on the show who is far more wise than I am, highly inspirational. And I mean, man, I wish she was on the show for this part because I feel like she'd have a great answer. But anyways, let's jump in.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Okay, you guys, you are in for a major treat today. So are we, let's be real. Because joining us on Overshare for the very first time is one of my personal internet crushes, Ashley Lemieux. Hello, Ashley. How's it going?
Hey, guys. Oh, I'm so good. I'm so happy to be chatting with you face to face finally.
Totally. So this is actually the first time that Ashley and I have ever had like face-to-face contact, even though we have been friends on the interwebs for kind of a long time, which
don't
is crazy.
Love the internet?
I do. I really do. And we definitely pride ourselves on this show on having like a wide array of multi-hyphenate human beings on. And you are so multi-hyphenate. Like today I was doing some like deep stalking of you and you have hyphens I didn't even know you had. Like you have a clothing line And you had like a brick and mortar shop at one point. You're an entrepreneur. You're an author. Like, okay, what am I missing that I don't have on the hyphenated list?
I mean, I think that's it. I, my very favorite thing though is what I currently have that I've spent the past almost decade building, which is an online community for women. So no matter like the different side projects that I take on, I mean, my clothing line wasn't a side project. That was a full on operation that almost ran me into the ground, but it was fun for those few years. But it all goes back to wanting to serve and empower women to help them find freedom and clarity in their life. So it's fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. I realize also we're doing a podcast. Of course, you also have a podcast.
I just started it last September. So I've been doing it for just a few months.
Was like, what month is it?
I know. I forgot.
It's nice because it feels way like less pressure than filming a video or doing something more formal.
Right? And I feel like the feedback isn't as immediate as far as just like... If I didn't,
trickle in. It's like, we'll just ignore that.
This was the worst podcast ever. I won't know that people felt that way for a while, so I can just go on my way.
Let's just jump right into that topic, by the way, because, I see the word shine used so much in all of your various projects. Born to Shine, which was your first book. Your second book is coming out, by the way, little plug, go ahead and pre-order it. I pre-ordered mine today. Very excited about it. But this concept of shining, I think, can be really hard for people in our shoes sometimes when you're just getting like so much feedback and a lot of it is positive, but some of it is like so unnecessarily negative. How do you deal with that as like also an adult woman who's getting feedback from other adult women who are like maybe allegedly the worst people on the internet? I don't know.
I feel like I could talk about this for so long. And the very honest answer is that literally last week, I have therapy weekly. And last week, our whole session was about me handling my anxiety surrounding the feedback that I get online, especially as my new book, I Am Here, is about to come out. I think when you pour yourself into work that you're very passionate about, there's people out there who know how to attack you and know how to attack it just in the way where it like really gets you. I mean, because people can tell me I have wrinkles on my face all day and that doesn't bother me, right? But the things that really you put your integrity and heart into that then is just torn apart, that gives me a tremendous amount of anxiety. So something that I actually talk about this in my new book because of what a role the anxiety that this has created in my life has just done to me. But something that I say is that is peace be with you as you go on your way. Sometimes I say it out. Sometimes I'll read the comment and I'll just say it to myself. Sometimes I just need to like physically write it and respond. But what I learned is that a lot of times when I'm being attacked online and I don't say anything, I feel voiceless and I feel powerless. And then that creates more of an anxiety. So if I can come up with one response that allows me to accept right now that this really hurt, but I'm going to put an end to it because peace be with you as you go on your way. I'm so sorry for whatever pain has led you to this place where you're just a mean person. But now I'm cutting off, I'm making this boundary where you can't suck my energy anymore. So that's how I deal. I go to therapy.
That's so powerful. That's actually,
it's much more mature than how I handle some.
I'm not good, honestly, at arguing in real life or online. I'm very non-confrontational. So I think that's a really great tool because I have also sort of like made this choice over the last like 10 years to make an effort to always really respond to the positive comments because I feel like that empowers people to want to be positive because the end of the day, I think people just want to be heard and seen. And sometimes I feel like responding to the negative comments is like empowering people. But if you just say, peace be with you, like the conversation-
probably piss them off more.
It's over at that point. Like it's just time to move on. I think that's so smart. How did you come up with that?
My therapist. Great. And then, so
worth the money.
Yesterday, I received a terrible comment, like super bad. And I said that. And then she responded back. And so then for me, I said, I will not be engaging in this conversation anymore. So for me, if I can create, it's kind of like an energy block, I view it as, where if it's not open-ended, then I just feel like I keep giving them this energy that they don't deserve to have. But if I can stop it, then for me, it helps me close this mind loop. And I just do better. So that's kind of become my thing to help me with all of the opinions, you know, about me. The other thing I think it's hard too, is that if you give weight to the good opinions, then you give weight to the bad opinions. And so I also think that sometimes even good feedback right away, when we're just so overwhelmed with people's opinions of us all the time, either good or bad, it's like, well, am I doing this now for validation? And if you're not getting that feedback, mm-hmm. then you're like, well, I need to feel validated. And so the internet can just become a really draining place to be overall. So
100%. I think too, like something that I just really respect about you, so many things that you do and really inspire me, but I've always found it, as someone who's been on the internet for, like, I'm a dinosaur at this point on the internet. And I've always been like really intentional about what I share. And I feel like I've definitely held back on certain things because I'm just scared. I'm scared of that feedback, right? And I think you have been one of the most transparent people I've ever seen on the internet, like, period. That's it. How do you draw a line between, like, I'm going to share this or I'm not going to? Because especially for me now being married, which I got married later, I guess, in life, 37. Even with, like, relationship stuff, I'm like, okay, like, I guess I have to talk to this other person before I share this, because it's not just about me, it's about us. How do you do that? Because I feel like you do it, you're just like blessing so many people with sharing your stories.
That's so nice of you. And to be honest, there, you know, it's so crazy because while I do share so much online, there's also a lot that I don't share. The things that I don't share, I have to ask myself the question of, is this going to impact someone else involved in the situation in a way that isn't fair for me to share their part of the story or share this experience, because it also involves their story. And so I really try to be careful with that. And then there's also just, you know, some things in your life that you hold so close and personal that I don't want to, that it's not up for discussion. It just is this special part of my life. But how I decide what to share is that ever since I was little, because growing up, I was so shy. And so I would just not talk at school all day, and I'd run home, and then I would write my feelings and throw it under my bed. And so now I feel like I'm still the same as an adult, except I talk more. But like internally, I'm really shy, but I write every single day. And so the things that come to me when I write are the things that I know that I'm also supposed to share with other people. Because even though the details of all of our lives are drastically different, the experiences, the feelings that we share, they connect us. And so I know if I'm feeling a certain way and can help give women words that helps it make sense to them, that they can cling on to, that no matter what they're going through, that I can provide a tool to help them. And so that's how I decide what I share and don't share.
I love it. Honestly, I know I've gained and garnered so much from just following you on Instagram. And I'm so excited about this next book, which isn't out yet. So you don't want to give like everything away.
Oh, I'm so excited.
But like,
I'm like, but how, like, do you write a book?
Yes, that's a great starting point.
Literally, I was truly, because I am working on something that I'm writing like a script for. And it's just like a lot of pages in a Word document. And I thought about it the other day. I was like, how do people write books? Like, I can't keep track 10 pages. Like, it's so much. Does your brain just want to explode all the time?
Yeah, it kind of does. So this is my second, I Am Here is my second book. And I wrote them pretty close together. And so as soon as we were done with the tour for the first book, I went immediately into writing I Am Here. And I was pumped about it because there was so much new things that I wanted to share. And then
I have another question.
Oh yeah.
Do you write it like start to finish? Or do you just do you also have some parts that you're like, oh, I really want to write about this one thing. Okay. And then you just like kind of get to it
this
later.
That's actually a really good question that I've never been asked. So what happens is you submit a book proposal to the publishers. And it's laid out by chapter. So in the beginning, writing that book proposal takes a long time. You have to get everything laid out.
So you have to have an actual outline.
Yeah, you gotta have a plan, right? It's not written, and you send in maybe two sample chapters, but by the time you start, you at least have this blueprint of a plan. Now with I Am Here, it was a different situation because my book was due in February of last year, so a little over a year ago. At that time, I was also pregnant. And I turned in the book and I told my husband, I feel like my book's not done. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what, but my book was due. It was all done. But I kept telling him, it's not complete. I don't know what I'm missing. And then the month after, literally 4 weeks later, pandemic comes and the world changes for everyone. And right in the middle of the beginning of that, I got really sick and I went septic. And we ended up losing our baby boy at 16 weeks pregnant. And that was an experience all in and of itself. But so then after a few months of me healing and going through all these things, I went back to my publisher and I was like, my book's not complete. And so I went back in, I wrote a whole new beginning of the book. And then a whole new end of the book. So it was like I had the middle there, but that was kind of the first time where it was completely out of order. But the way that it ended up is something that I've never been so proud of. And I feel like it is my privilege to be able to hand these words now over to women who need them because they're not just mine anymore.
Mm-hmm. And you sharing that story specifically, I mean, absolutely heartbreaking, devastating. I'm curious how it's been healing for you to be able to share your story with so many other women that go through not the exact same circumstance. But I think as we're learning more and more, whether it's the topic of infertility or miscarriage, things that have been so taboo, I mean, at least in my lifetime, it's not something I even knew what those words meant as a kid growing up. And I think people sharing their stories are really just allowing it to be more of an open conversation, obviously, for people, but so healing for so many people. But what about for you?
Now, last night, I was actually thinking about this because I was thinking that if one in four pregnancies end in a miscarriage, why is it that it's been so taboo to talk about? And last night I just had this thought that I think a lot of times we look at other people, or we think of some of the worst situations that we're afraid of happening in our own lives. And child loss is one of those things that probably most people never want to experience. Right. And they know that it's painful. And so sometimes I think that perhaps talking about miscarriage has been taboo because then that would require other people to put themselves in other people's shoes that they don't want to put themselves into. And so instead of talking about it, we retreat and we can put people who have miscarriages or fertility problems into a separate category and say, well, that's them. And we create this other type of relationship. Well, that's that type of people. And I'm over here into the people who don't experience that, because I think that it just makes it easier, because if it can be them, then that means it doesn't have to happen to me.
Right. That we're safe. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So, yeah. Not to mention, I feel like also how like mental health too, how it has been stigmatized for so long and people didn't talk about it, but like everyone has mental health problems, that innately, and I obviously have not experienced a miscarriage, so I'm not sure, but I would assume that it is a very isolating experience. And then because it's so isolating, you don't talk to other people. So everyone is just like dealing with their own pain. But I would also assume that it does help to share it because you're finding out that you aren't as alone as you thought.
As I start sharing, there's literally so many women who have gone through this and who haven't been able to find words to how they feel or find people to connect with about it, or just to know that those feelings that they feel that are full of shame and guilt and pain, that those feelings are normal and that they're not weird or broken for having them. And so as I've been able to share, it's also helped remind me, because that was one of the biggest things, is when I got home from the hospital and I still look pregnant and I have a PICC line for IVs in my arm for the next several weeks. That's so thick. Every time I passed the mirror, I would see my belly and my body and just be so ashamed and feel so guilty. And I just thought that it was just my fault. And so as I started sharing that those were my feelings and other women started telling me that they had those same feelings, I realized that it wasn't just me and that there was nothing broken about me. And so being able to talk about it has been incredibly healing for me as well.
And does it also kind of give you, I know I've been dealing with chronic back pain for a long time, and it's very easy to feel like every day is the same and there's like no progress. But then I'll look back and be like, oh, actually, like a year ago, I couldn't do this. And now I am capable of doing this. That I feel like sharing your stuff and then hearing other people's stories, you're like, oh, well, I have made some progress because I was at where they are now at one point, and now I've been able to overcome it or at least improve
Absolutely.
A little bit.
Absolutely. I always say that healing isn't one big moment. And I think we want it to be. We want some miracle to happen that just snaps our fingers and it's all gone. But healing isn't just one big moment. It's constant movement forward. And so when we're able to track that, it can be really powerful. And as you're going through it every single day, like you just said, you don't realize how far down the path you've gone until you look back and you can acknowledge, wow, I have a totally different reaction to this than I used to. Or wow, like, look what I was able to do today. And something that my therapist also has taught me is that the way to know where you're going is to talk to those coming back. So as far as grief or loss or chronic pain, there's a lot of hope in talking to people who are 3, 4, 5 years out from the thing that you're going through, because it adds this component of hope when you're able to see someone who's farther on their healing journey. It gives you permission to be like, okay, I can do this. I can also get to where they are too.
Makes it feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, totally.
I definitely think, just even from, like I said, following you on Instagram, which, by the way, if you guys are not following this woman, look in our show notes, look in the info section, you need to, because not only do you post so much content that's so vulnerable and informational, also want to get to some of the silly stuff you post as well, because you're hilarious. but now at this place that you are in your healing journey, how did you kind of start like claiming joy in your life and like coming back to being who you are right now?
So I started asking myself questions every morning, because before we lost our baby boy, we also lost 2 older kids who we were permanent guardians over for 4 years. And that buried me more than anything that's happened in my whole life. And I lost who I was. And in trying to reclaim who I was and who I wanted to be in this life we wanted to rebuild, it's hard to do that when it feels impossible to wake up and get out of bed in the morning. So in the mornings, I started asking myself a simple question, which was, what is my intention today? It was easy, right? Like I just needed something that felt like it gave me purpose to wake up. And at first it would be really simple. Like, today my intention is to connect with my husband. And so I'd plan something to do that because we were going through grief and our relationship was rocky. Other times it would be to show up as a big ball of love to work meetings that I didn't want to go to. I focused really specifically on an intention. And as I did that, and
and saw myself doing well in those areas that I was focusing on, I was like, okay, I can have this help bring me purpose back. Maybe this will help me create a clear path forward. So then from that question, four more questions came to me throughout my meditation and my healing journey, which I've created a morning practice that has changed my life from what is my intention today? Who am I going to serve today? What can I set down today? Like, what can I stop carrying that has been really weighing on me? How does the truest version of myself show up today? And it's not who does the best version of me show up today? Because I think when we ask ourselves who the best version of ourselves is, we start answering based off of what other people want from us. So for me, answering the question every day, who is the truest version of myself, keeps inviting me to come back home into myself, despite pain, despite what might feel like it's crumbling around me. I feel like I can be in control of those areas of my life when everything else feels out of control, which has then helped us and empowered us to rebuild our lives into what it is today.
I was thinking, as you were saying all of that, I'm like, man, she should write a book about all of this. I am here. Lucky for all of us.
Literally, this is what I am here is about, is to help you rebuild your path or to continue to build your path so that you have clarity and freedom from the things that otherwise might be weighing you down every day.
And I love that you brought up your husband, your lovely husband, which is actually how you and I connected. Yes. I met Ashley's husband, Mike, many years ago and have been like following your guys' journey from living in Arizona and moving to Nashville and having a fun stint there, which like your guys' life there looked so fun. I loved the aesthetic. You had like this cool truck, this like old truck that you rated. That was really cool. Now you're back in Arizona where you are also basically low-key interior designers.
I mean, no, not designers. Mike deserves no credit for what we've done on our house. Let's be real.
The truth comes out.
No, but I love, being able to renovate our home. I can't do the DIY stuff. We hire contractors, but I love designing and just bringing things to life. It's been really fun.
Yeah, I saw your recent reels and I saw the whole house and it looks fantastic. But I do also want to touch on, because to me, and I've actually talked to your husband about this before, I feel like for women especially, you hit this certain age, maybe it's like 12, 13, where, and hopefully this is starting to dissipate and is no longer a thing for young women. But I felt at that age that it was like, okay, you're a young teenager. It's time to stop being silly and doing like little funny things on the playground, and it's time to get serious and sexy. Like, I felt like that was the pressure that, honestly, I don't know if you guys felt like that, but that for young girls.
I'm just picturing serious, sexy Jocelyn obviously, on the playground.
Obviously, I never took that route. I knew it wasn't going to work for me. I've always been just a weirdo and I've always fully embraced it.
Yeah, I literally just tweeted, I would say yesterday, but who knows what day it is. That I turned 31 this week and I still feel 18.
Always.
And not in this, I was like, and also 85 at the same time. Like my body feels 85, but I'm like, in the terms of like, I don't, like, you think that you become an adult at some point? No, it's a lie.
It is a lie, right? And you grow up in here, you get to this place where you've arrived, and then every year you're like, is this the year that I've arrived? Because I don't feel like...
No, and then it's just more alarming because you become more aware that the old adults don't know what's going on either.
It's funny, but I think like I've realized over the years, I'm 38 now and I'm wearing a floral overall and I have my hair done like an 8-year-old. So like, obviously I don't care about these things, but I've made it like a part of my like secret mission to do silly things and be like kind of a wacky person at times, hopefully in hopes that it empowers people to do the same, because I think I take having fun very seriously in life. I think it's super important. And I feel like you and Mike are great examples of that. So like, how do you incorporate like the fun, the silly, some would say wacky, into your lives? Because I see it on the social needs.
So it makes me really happy that you've noticed that, because for the past several years, probably up until even just a few months ago, I felt like that part of our life had been sucked out, because when you're grieving really deep,
you don't, nothing feels fun. Like, it doesn't feel fun. You don't feel fun. But growing up, yeah, growing totally. Up, I was really funny and I was really fun. And so now, and I think this is one of those moments where I can look back and be like, wow, look at the progress in my healing journey that I have made. Having fun, like the beginning of this year, Mike and I were just like, what is our goal this year? We just want to have fun. Like, we just want to freaking have fun, whatever that looks like. Whether that's me pranking him, putting fake cockroaches in my leftovers because he always eats them, or doing dances with my dad. So I will say that this component of fun in our lives, my dad is in his 60s. My following on Instagram is obsessed with him because he never grew up from an 18-year-old. He's a lawyer. He's very grown up in that way. But as far as having fun and just being crazy and goofy, I grew up with a dad who always was that way. He has what he's known for is this dance move where he lassos his arm around the air while he's smacking his own butt with his other hand. We will be out in public. We'll be in restaurants. My family will just start chanting horse, 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 because that's the dance move name, and he will just take off. So like, that's how I grew up, and it's been a part of me, and it feels really, it was just so happy that that part of me has come back to life now.
I actually saw a video of you and your dad, which I kind of want to recreate with my dad, because my dad is kind of wild too, but where you had him like naming out what different like feminine products were, like you were holding them up and you were like, what is this for?
I had an ovulation kit. He gets very awkward about any female it type of anything. So I just had my little ovulation test out and he was so freaked out. He's like, I don't want to know. I don't need to know about this. But yeah, he's totally game for doing videos and stuff. So it's super fun.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Well, like I said at the beginning of our chat, you're so multi-hyphenate. You have even the podcast, you have the books, you have all the things. What have you not tackled besides obviously the importance of having fun this year in 2021? But like, what is, I'm a big believer in like throwing things out into the universe, because like, who knows who's listening to this podcast? I always am like, Oprah might be listening. Right? So she's not, but if she is,
she might be. We're just going to throw that out there.
She might be. So like, what's something that you're like manifesting or that you want to have happen in the future that you haven't tackled yet?
So right now our big thing is trying to get pregnant and lead to a successful delivery. And it's actually, yeah, that's my thing. I think career wise, I feel good about where I'm at. I'm really excited for my book to come out. And the thing that we both want the most in our life right now is our baby. And so that's where all my head and heart are at right now. And I believe it will happen. It's just a matter of when, but I think that's the thing.
Absolutely. Well, we're believing for it too. Before we wrap up the show, we have one final segment. Are you down to hang out with us for the final part of the show?
Oh, yeah.
So long, farewell. I hate us so much more now.
Okay, Lil, why don't you kick us off with what this segment is?
So this is our final segment, Share Well, and it's just us sharing something that brought us joy this week and saying farewell at the same time.
Perfect.
I bought these sweatpants and sweatshirt. I bought this sweatshirt and these sweatpants I'm wearing at Target today because you know what? I just felt like it was time for another new pair.
They're cute.
Lily, I have a quick question for you. Just an approximate estimation, how many pairs of tie-dye sweatpants sets do you have now?
Hard to say. The limit does not exist.
Ashley, have you been wearing real pants at all this year?
I have some real pants on right now just because I'm leaving my house after this, but I don't know why I've been doing that.
I was supposed to go to lunch with my mom recently and I bailed. Whoops. I napped instead. But when I was going to get ready, I was like, what do I wear? Like, what is a normal outfit now? What is socially expected?
We don't know anymore.
Because I feel like I feel like there are no social norms anymore. So it's kind of nice.
Honestly, something I've discussed at length on this podcast, Ashley, is that I have learned throughout the last year during the pandemic what a crock women's undergarments are, because we should all just be wearing men's underwear. They're so much more comfortable. They're a little more visible under like a yoga pant. Yeah. But I mean, men's underwear are a blessing to us all. Forget about women's undergarments. That's like my main takeaway.
Is that your joy moment this week, was wearing your husband's?
Not this week.
No,
this joy moment in life.
But I did wear them yesterday and it was a good day. It was a really good day for my butt. Felt very happy.
I have a question that's unrelated to any of this, but when all of this is quote unquote over, are we going to, how long are we wearing masks for still?
Great question. I don't know the answer.
I only ask because yes, they can be annoying sometimes, but for the most part, it's so nice to not have to deal with, like, if I have like zit stickers or if I have something going on with my face, just cover it up. No one has to know.
I don't know the answer, but I will say that especially here in LA, I don't know a date that we would ever be able to stop wearing them. Honestly.
Right? Like, I'm kind of okay if it becomes just like the new norm.
I do spend a lot of time in Arizona, which, Ashley, we absolutely have to meet up at some point in Arizona.
I think it's time. It's time soon.
It is.
And I'll come too, because back to my old stomping grounds.
You got to come.
I went to Arizona State.
Yeah, me too.
It was a great time.
Go Devils.
Ashley, what brought you joy this week?
So Mike and I have become obsessed with playing pickleball.
Ooh!
And we love pickleball. Mike has like, he turns into this new person when we play pickleball. He's kind of annoying. So his name is Pickleball Paul. Like, he has a whole pickleball persona.
Oh, wow. I love the alliteration.
So Pickleball Paul. Yes.
I'm Googling what pickleball is.
In both games. Oh, it's like tennis, but shorter.
What are these rackets?
It's so fun, you guys. But I beat Mike in both of the games. He's going to be so pissed that I'm talking about this right now. I was full of so much joy.
Do you go to a court or do you play like, do you have a net in your yard?
You go to a court. So there's a park by us. They probably have, this is amazing. They probably have at least 20 courts, and there's a pickleball association. We're not a part of it, but we want to join. That all these people come and they play each other and they compete and all the things. And sometimes we'll go and we'll just play pickup games with other people who we think, hey, they might be good competition. Like, it's a whole thing.
I don't know when this article is from, but NBC News says pickleball is the fastest growing sport you've never heard of.
You got to join it. It's,
as of 2019.
It's so much joy.
Well, the cool thing about pickleball and tennis is that they were some of the only like COVID approved sports. So you could still keep playing because you're so far away from each other. But funny story about pickleball in LA. So Chris and I love playing tennis.
Just want a pickle.
And one morning, now I love a good pickle too. One morning we got up at like 6 a.m. to get to the tennis courts before anyone came to stake them out. And we got there and we were like, this tennis court feels different. But we thought we were just tired because it was
so
early.
Specific size?
Yes, it's a tiny
court.
Oh yeah,
it's like a tiny tennis court. And we didn't realize we were on a pickleball court for like 30 minutes because we were so tired.
I'm just
confused that they have designated pickleball courts at parks.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah. At least here they do too. It's gone into it's a thing. It's a big thing. Mike just bought $200 racket because he wanted a new one.
I'm like most curious.
Not okay.
How does the city, like when they're building the park, how like, oh, I bet this community looks like a pickleball community. Like,
right?
What if they built it and just no one ever used it? Or people just tried to play
people
tennis.
Are using it. So go on. Tennis, sorry. I'm going to offend everyone, but you know, tennis is like out with the old and with the new, and it's time to pickle.
Oh my gosh. No, it is like such an amazing workout too. It's a crazy workout.
Yeah, when you're playing one-on-one, we'll come home, we'll just be sweating.
I'm so intrigued.
But it's fun. Yeah, you gotta play.
Lily, you and me, pickleball. It's happening.
Sounds like a disaster.
You got to play doubles. 2-on-2, though. It's more fun that way.
Honestly, the court's a little small. I'm afraid it would hit someone with the racket. Let's be honest.
No, you won't.
It looks like beach tennis.
Oh my gosh. Well, what brought me joy this week is kind of could be peripherally related to sports. And that is that Chris's birthday was a few weeks ago. And so I did what any like good partner would do. And I bought him a gift that I wanted.
Love it.
So Lily actually is the first person who ever turned me on to the TheraGun. And if you guys
did you get one?
We have those.
So I bought a TheraGun for Chris and it's the small travel size, which is perfect because we're always on the go. So
it's like the little,
It's little, it's about this big, but man, it does the trick. Like I will never need a massage again for the rest of my life. But here's the best part, you guys. So I got him the TheraGun and I was like, this is the best gift ever. It's a gift for me. It feels amazing. It's worth every penny. And my brother and sister saw that I had this box delivered to our house. My brother calls me a few hours later and he's like, is Chris around? And I was like, no. He's like, you have to send the TheraGun back. He's like, because we got him one too. So now we have two TheraGuns.
Yeah, I was gonna say no. Keep them both. Are they both travel ones?
The tiny ones. Oh my gosh! So literally,
do it. Like, I mean, you could do it on each other. Do it on like your back too. But if you even do it on both your legs at the same time, it's life changing.
Ashley, have you ever tried one of these out before?
No. So Mike has it.
Oh, he does. Okay, great.
I feel like people don't realize the full potential that it holds. That like, even if you're not sore and you're just kind of like achy and not feeling good, if you just kind of do it over your whole body, especially like your feet and your calves, you feel like I'm floating.
Actually, Lily, you were the first person to ever introduce me to the TheraGun because I feel like they sent you one early on. Because right?
A guy from my high school is an investor in it. So another guy from my school had one. And then I was like, Do you think I can get one of those? And they sent me one. And then the next thing I knew, I had three.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm here to tell you it's worth the hype. It's amazing. I got a good deal on ours. I bought it on Amazon. Yeah,
how much is the travel one?
They gave me a discount. It was like $215, which is a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
I think it's like $600 for the.
If it's an investment in my health, I am here for it. Okay. I'm into investing in my health in the 30s.
Especially even if you just like travel or walk a lot. This is not sponsored, but that would be amazing. Doing it to the bottom of your feet after walking like heels for a long time.
The best. The absolute best. Well, Ashley, thank you so much for coming to hang out with us. I hope that next time I see you, it's like in real life, like not on a computer screen. Please. Last thing I'm curious about, because Lily brought up like post-COVID life. Like, what is one thing that you are like, this is what I'm going to get down with when this is like fully over?
Oh, Hawaii. That's all we talk about. We are in our minds. We are already in Hawaii. We've been there for a long time, but I keep looking up places to stay like 3 months out. Just to get an idea of, okay, if it's in 3 months, where are we going to be? We'll be in Hawaii for sure.
Oh, I love that for you. Aloha. Okay, last thing before we wrap up, please share where the people can find you on all of the internet locations.
Oh, okay. Come find me on Instagram. I love our community that we've built on Instagram. Come find me there at Ashley K. Lemieux. And then you can go order I Am Here wherever books are sold. And my website is theshineproject.com.
Woohoo! And I recommend got mine today pre-ordered on Amazon, which is fun because when you pre-order on Amazon or anywhere for that matter, it's like you forget about it. And then one day you just have a package. It's so fun.
Shows up.
That happens to me when I just order something.
Oh my gosh. Well, you guys, this episode of Overshare is over. Thank you so much for being here. If you are new to the podcast, please do what's good. Subscribe, leave us a rating, leave us a review, like 3 words. We would absolutely love that so that more people can join this party. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.